When one really delves and looks, there are many indications of ancient lore practices and societies from the echoes of the past. Some are more archaeologically documented than others, and some with mostly just oral traditions that are still enveloped in the mist of mystery. The time of the gods in ancient Ireland and the British Isles is one such example. There is some documentation of the Druids, however, it is mostly biased information from the Greeks and Romans. So who were they really, and where did they originate, and who were the ancient beings that existed even before them? In the Book of Invasions, the ones before are called the Shining Ones. Large, beautiful, cultured people or beings who were like gods. The Tuatha De Danann. Some say that they arrived on a mountain, others in a mist from the sea. For it is common for gods to descend on mountains. Others see an alien connection, possibly, for ships often hover around mountains and the ocean and come in a mist. Some say they have a resemblance to the Pleiadians. Either way, with their strength and magic, they were able to defeat the Fomorians or the Firbolg. Firbolg were a strong giant-like people and were known as sea raiders. There were some other previous earlier races on these islands, but they were unfortunately wiped out or forced to abandon, for it was very harsh, a very harsh landscape at the time, especially. There were many plagues and dark creatures. So another source says when the Tuatha De Danann arrived, they were so sure that they would stay there that this source is saying they came in ships and that they were from just the distant north and that they burned those ships, because they were so sure that they were just going to stay there. So they offered a truce with the Firbolg if they would divide the land up, but the Firbolg refused. So there were several challenges with the warriors of both tribes and both peoples. And the De Danann eventually won out. And then the Firbolg were just given 1/5 of Ireland in the mostly Conneaut region. The Tuatha De Danann had brought the magical Stone of Destiny, the invincible spear, the shiny sword, the cauldron of Dagda. It's been also mentioned that they could use portals around the world to travel. Some others say that even though they were godlike, they were a tribe that arrived from the near north and just very skilled in metallurgy. And they were guided by wise druids or leaders. The Druids were astronomers, magicians, ceremonialists, and lawgivers. Now, Plato of the Greeks even surmised that they might be Hyperboreans. Now, Hyperborea is a land beyond wind, they say, near the North Pole, where everyone is healthy and happy and thriving. They were also referred to by the Greeks and others as Hyperians. There were several tales that carried out through time in the world that Ireland especially was fertile and productive and could produce two harvests a year. So the inhabitants, and also it was mentioned that the inhabitants continually played on harps and sung songs to the gods. And the moon appears to be just a small distance from the earth there. And groups would often dance through the night until the arrival of the Pleiades. In later times, New Grange was a sacred place built, and it was situated to align with Sirius A. Other evidences of the early civilization were monumental buildings, megalithic tombs, Boyne Valley tombs, barrows, or earthly burial mounds, those mounds were often considered portals to the Irish underworld or otherworld. It is thought that the Tuatha De Danann ruled from 1897 to 1700 BC. But then came the Milesians. It is said that the Gauls left Egypt the same time as the Israelites, and the Milesians were of the Gauls, who existed in many places across Europe. And the Gauls had many, many battles with the early Romans. Sometimes, quite a few times, they did win, but eventually they were overtaken by the Romans and were driven further west. And the subgroup of the Milesians set sail from Hispania, and which was believed to be a part of Spain, to head west. The Tuatha De Danann were able to trick the Milesians at first with their strong magic and with creating a storm as the Milesian ships arrived. But the Milesians had a very brave, strong warrior leader, and he could resist the magic. Eventually, the Milesians overcame the Tuatha De Danann, who retreated into the hills and underground and became known as what we think of today as the fairy folk enveloped in magic. Now, the Milesians transitioned into the present day Irish Celts, and the Druids continued to have their role across the Isles. The Druids and the clans were worshippers of the sunset and also servants of the Red God. Again, there are many oral traditions and tales of the Druids or Dree, but not much written down. Druids mentioned a calendar, or maintained a calendar, set by the sun and moon. It is true about the strong connection to plants and trees, and of course nature. Now, I talk about nature and nature beings in another video on Conscious Awakening Network. Now, hazelnuts were linked to attaining wisdom, and they ate acorns and would prophesy. The oak tree was linked to the sky god. An oak was selected for whole groves that they often met in. However, the rowan tree was considered even more sacred. And so the Druids often dressed in white robes, and they would cut mistletoe, but they would cut it with a golden sickle. So it was just like ceremonial and special. They did have a practice of sacrificing white bulls occasionally, and they were only white, but it was occasional. However, the idea of a lot of sacrifices by them put forth from the Romans was, again, biased. It was intended for, they did intend for certain outcomes, and their powers did work a lot. They could summon rains and storms and put different curses on people who would ruin them. But really, for the most part, they believed the soul was in the heart and not the head. And they worshiped the mother goddess, which was all about love. So the mother goddess Danube. They revered, some revered women were depicted as really playing sacred magical roles also. For Druidesses, shouted out prophecies often. Now, they should be differentiated from the Valkyries at a time when there was a lot of war, and the Valkyries would dress in black, and they were very linked to valor and would appear on the battlefield to help release the souls of the dead warriors. In general, the definition of Druid in Irish society was and is somewhat fluid, and they were not the only ones to use supernatural powers. The ancient Irish way of writing, with different symbols on a certain kind of wood, was most likely created by the Druids. But most of the inscriptions that were actually found were dated in the 4th through 11th century, so later. The Druids have been compared as holy to holy men and philosophers, and they have been compared to the Magi. Now, in 200 BC, there was a change in Irish society. Oak became the most common building material. There was an increased production of cereals and even more production of bronze. The distinctive decorative swirls that you see on some of the swords and also some of the Celtic artwork was used even more at that time. Now, there were roundhouses for the tribal people with small ringed enclosures and lots of ditches. And there were more and more fortified sites. The Celts were always based on tribes, and tribal leaders were considered kings. Now, new leaders rose up that knew that the Gaelic Celts needed to be more organized with new strategies to defeat Rome. So the Celts continued to worship certain gods of the ancients. Danu was the ancestor of all mother goddesses. Lugh was the god of kings and justice. Sirionis was of the beast and wild places. And Kalec was the queen of winter. And Dagda, for one, was the chief of the Druids. And there were several others too. The Druids did remain advisors to the kings and would often speak before the king, but did not seek out political power. Kings were often aligned with the Druid way and had training, but were not seen as a Druid. There were three sets of special men, the bards, which were poets and musicians, Ovids, which were simple philosophers, and the Druids, which were considered the leaders, magicians, and moral and legal guides and rulers. The Druids remained the priestly caste of the Celts. With the Celtic culture, there was much feasting and repeated patterns of burning. And the ancient Celtic writing persisted, possibly in resistance to the Romans and pre-Christian practices, still done even after Christianity was introduced with the oncoming Roman invasion. There also existed much Roman propaganda, especially in regard to the Celtic spirituality and the Druids. And Romans have said that Celts constructed large Wicca men out of very tall reeds and that they burned people inside. You know, however, there have been found remnants of these very large, you know, like 20, 30 feet tall Wicca men, but only some animal bones around that area. So the Druid genealogies and others were manipulated by certain early church leaders. One technique of conquering and ruling of Romans was to really know about tribal spirituality and religions, so they could figure out how to rule people. The genealogies were manipulated again by the church leaders, and as time went on, the Druids dwelled more in the halls of kings than in groves, and they remained long after Roman occupation. When Ireland turned to Christianity, the Druids were relegated to a mere nuisance. The missionaries did struggle to convert, though some say that the real Christian ethic already existed in Ireland. Now, St. Patrick, when he first came over, he was captured, and he was also challenged by a Druid leader. And so then a high king was about to imprison him, but Patrick escaped and went to France. But then he received extensive priest training and decided to return as a missionary and priest, and brought the gift of writing, which happened to preserve the folklore of Irish tradition, or some of it. However, the Celts already had a strong spiritual outlook, and there was some conflict with Druids and tribes. Eventually, they came to certain terms, and the Archdruid, who was the father of St. Brigid, was baptized by Patrick, who became St. Patrick. Now, the Druid order continued again to survive, but was really more and more behind the scenes of Christianity. Now, the Druidic way, and also the Celtic shamanism way, is about getting out of the head and into the heart. The journeys and ways are not for entertainment practices, but about reminding us who we truly are and confronting our shadow also. It relates to animism, the Celtic way, which is a belief of nature and some objects to be animate, of life and spirit, to be seers living in harmony with nature, to sense the spirit in trees, rocks, plants, rivers, lakes, and hills. Strongly working with the elements, which represent different aspects without and within oneself. For example, working with the element of fire within ourselves can cause us to be leaders and really can vivify us. Water represents emotions, feelings, but also compassion and going with the flow. Air represents mental and thinking, and earth is an example of being grounded and supported in this third dimension. Ether, of course, is of the cosmos and spirituality. The main tenets are working with the elements, connecting animistically, honoring the land around you, connecting with sacred sites, working with plants and herbs, performing ceremonies, and doing journeys for self-growth. Celtic shamanism or Celtic shamanic journeys are wonderful. They can be very visual, and you feel a sense of freedom and power afterwards. Just be clear as to why you are there in the moment. Now, don't be meek at all and mild, but be bold and make things happen. The guiding spirits do want to help. You may experience even archetypes depending on the kind of journey. Now, drumming is usually used to start off the journey.
It is a good idea that you connect with your helping spirits and animal guides, even aside from journeying. Now, starting in the morning, just like with other practices, with quiet reflection and meditation, and having and honoring a sacred space, whether at home or on the landscape, or even at what's called a nematon. A nematon is a field usually surrounded by trees with a magnetized vibration. Or it could be a ring fort, a burial mound, or even a crop circle. It is always good to go into nature or the forest with the heart and eyes of fairies. Soften your gaze, then really immerse with all senses. You can ask for wisdom or blessings from nature and become the hollow bone. Now, stone wisdom is also present, and rune stones have been used throughout the ages. And of course, the wisdom of the trees. Now, I do practice Celtic and perform Celtic tree readings as one of my modalities besides the shamanism. And anyone interested can contact me at mountainspirithealing.org. Again, that's mountainspirithealing.org. And so always thank the nature beings for their presence. Be the hero of your life, and to be sovereign too. Now, sovereignty is the center of Celtic way and the Celtic medicine wheel. Yes, there is a Celtic medicine wheel which is quite similar to the native cultures and their medicine wheels, with just a little bit of differences. Now, sovereignty is having power over the self. It really neutralizes all other elements when we depend, when we deprive others of their sovereignty. We strongly affect them. So you don't want to go that route. So ask frequently, what are we giving our power away to? And so, the Celtic mystical way is a world of soul for the communication with the soul is for a lifetime and beyond.